And we are back, Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams live from the Right Side Studio, local, state, national. Man, we got all the stuff, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, this is one of my favorite moments of every single week. Like, we do this thing every Wednesday now is a new schedule, but the Grand Council, we call it. And I got two brethren in radio that have been doing this longer than me. And they come on with me. We spend some time sort of opining and pinging each other with questions, see how we do. And so I'm going to call the roll right now. Do I have from WVNN, that's 92.5 FM, 770 AM up in Huntsville, Dale Jackson, are you with us?
I am here, and I am off mute.
Whoa! I'm so proud, Dale. After 15 years in radio, you have got the mute button down, man. All right, and from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, also the political editor for 1819 News, do we have a Jeff Poor?
I am present.
You are indeed, and your audio sounds crystal clear. So, all right, fellas, you know the rules. We ping each other with questions. We ask and answer. We do the best we can. We don't always agree, but we love each other nonetheless when it's over. So play the intro there, Boomer. What you got?
Assemble the Grand Council.
We got the Longhorns back. All right, so we got all the horns now. All right, round one. Dale Jackson, you first.
I'm going to start with the Kansas situation.
Kansas.
Looking at it, what is wrong with Kansas? Looking at what's going on there, you see big Republican turnout, but still abortion remains in the Constitution. They weren't able to remove it. What is the message that we should take from this? The media messages, of course, oh my God, Republicans are so screwed. Forget about the economy. Abortion is the only issue, and Democrats are now going to be, you know, in power forever. What's the actual story here?
Jeff, you first, bud.
The Democrats need something to hang their hat on. this is it. I mean, this is as simple as that. It's a moral victory for them. I mean, it's no small feat. There's something strange about that, and the way I don't know if there's some kind of libertarian streak going on in the Republican Party right now, or civil libertarian streak that says that we need not mess around with the abortion issue, but I do not think it means the red wave is canceled.
No, the red wave's not canceled at all, but I'm calling election integrity fraud. There was some kind of scam going on is what I'm saying. No, but anyway, I look at this too, and I'm thinking, first of all, Democrats are overplaying the abortion thing. I mean, just I don't even know all the details yet, but while I was on air just maybe 30 minutes ago, President Biden signed some kind of executive order on abortion rights. I guess he doesn't get the idea that it was devolved to the states by the Supreme Court's recent ruling in Dobbs. But it is not everything that the liberals want it to be. In fact, last I checked, it's only something like 3% of Americans see that as being one of the top issues, and it's way being overplayed. Dale, your own question, your thoughts.
Well, I think it is being overplayed, but I think they should be somewhat worried about this. If I was a Republican there in some swing states, maybe there's something that happens here that pushes something one point one way or another. They're already trying to hang extremists on every single Republican. This is just another way for them to do that. This does not bode well for some of those Senate seats, I think. But again, I don't think the red wave is canceled, mm-hmm. but I think the red wave might have a little pushback on it right now.
Interesting. All right, well, tell you what, let me segue straight off that. I'll take the next question then. So last night in Arizona, what's her name? Last name Lake. I forgot her first name, but she basically appears to have prevailed. It was too close to call earlier. I see where she's calling victory now. 12,000 vote margin, but nonetheless, that was a Trump-Pence kind of opposing candidate issue. Trump's candidate appears to have won. Just up on the banner a moment ago on the CNN, on one of the screens here in the studio, CNN basically saying, they're freaking out. They're saying an election denier has won the ticket, you know, to run for governor. Is election integrity going to be one of the issues in the upcoming midterms? Jeff, you first.
I think in Arizona it has to be it was just litigated over and over and over again. And how many recounts and court cases were there in Arizona? So I think at some point people start scratching their heads saying, well, there's something wrong here. And Kerry Lake was able to capitalize on that. No question about it. But I don't know if it's necessarily something that's going to be a national issue. I think it just depends on state by state by state.
Yeah. All right. So, Dale?
I sort of the same answer. Maybe in some places it will be. The Democrats will try to make that the issue everywhere. Did Trump win the 2020 election will be the question asked over and over and over and over again. If I was one of these candidates, I would say, well, did Bush win in 2000? I mean, yeah. I don't that might be how I handle it. Or how about Trump in 2016? You know, I'd ask those questions back. But I think it will not be this massive issue. I think people are kind of tired of it. But, yeah, again, nibbling around the edges, this could be a problem for some candidates.
For some, and I think that's the key. I think you both kind of touched on that, too, that is it's a state-by-state thing. In Alabama, election integrity is pretty solid. We didn't have issues you can run on, per se, in Alabama.
Don't ask Mike Lindell, then.
There is that. Besides the gaffes that we had in some state legislative races based upon local registrars not knowing their job, the reality is we had a pretty tight situation here, but you can't say that in Georgia. You can't say it in Pennsylvania. You can't say it in Arizona. And so some of those states, I think it is an issue that can carry forward. And you're right, Dale. I do believe you're right. I think you're going to wind up seeing any number of debates this coming season are going to have the question, well, do you believe that Trump really won the election? Like, that's going to be something they're going to undo you with by asking the question. And I agree. Ask the question back. Jeff, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I kind of give it mine. I think it does matter state by state by state, but here in Alabama, no, there's absolutely nothing for them to run on. I guess you want me to do my question.
Oh, that's right. I did. I think I gave you two bites at the apple on my question there. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's look here at Alabama. BCA had their annual confab down here in my neck of the woods. And this always makes me a little suspicious when they start talking about health care. And suddenly the Business Council of Alabama cares about health care. And Robin Stone's on TV talking about health care. I got to think that that is some kind of signal that they're going to maybe they won't be out front pushing for it. But they're going to say, hey, if you want to expand Medicaid rolls in Alabama, it's okay by us. And I think that is something they're pushing for behind the scenes. What say you?
I agree. I think they are pushing for it because the hospital association wants it badly. The some of the things they're going to have to watch for in this, didn't HHS or health, I mean, Medicaid and Medicare services, didn't they just come out with a regulation saying that you will allow for transgender surgeries and treatments as a
yes.
part of Medicaid? Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be one of those things you push for it. If you push for it on a fiscal note, you're going to wind up getting a cultural fight. I think that's what you're going to look at here. So they can claim that it's going to help hospitals with their bottom line, but at the same time, those same hospitals just pissed people off for the last 2 years by not allowing families to come in the door while granny was dying in the ICU. And then the other thing is you're going to create this huge cultural fight. You're going to say, well, okay, in Alabama, we don't want to do that because cultural issue. Dale?
Well, I think you're right about that, and I also think that we've had this conversation in this state 15 times in the 15 times I've lived here, it seems like, or the 15 years I've lived here, and it really seems like it goes absolutely nowhere. And you heard Senator Pittman say, look, if you do this, you're putting the state into proration eventually.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think fiscally they're going to have a hard time selling it.
I think you're right. Fiscally and culturally, I think it's going to be a no sale.
Well, right. There's something else, guys.
Yeah, go
real
ahead.
Quick. Robert Stone is a Blue Cross Blue Shield guy, right?
Oh, it's true.
And
true.
you got to think, well, that's a big meal in this state. I think that's something you got to also take into account.
That's a great point. I had not put those two puzzle pieces together, but Robin Stone was the lead governmental affairs guy for Blue Cross Blue Shield, the behemoth in the state of Alabama when it comes to health insurance, for many, many years. But now he is also the head of the business council, and they're talking about Medicaid. That's interesting. All right. Hey, we're ahead of schedule, so let me just jump right back. Who had the first question? Was it Dale? You going to go ahead?
I did have the
Take
first
question.
Take
number two,
bud. All right. I will ask this question. Governor Kay Ivey saying, I don't really want to talk about the closed primary stuff. I'm not interested in that conversation. And it's very strange to me. I find it very strange. She's like, I'd rather talk about this closer to the next legislative session. It just doesn't make any sense. If they ask you a question, why not answer it? Why is KIV being coy of on the issue of closed primaries, of all things?
Because she doesn't have an answer. No one told her what to say yet. I mean, I think the reality is it was a question she wasn't prepared for. And by the way, I don't have the context here, so I didn't see this presser or the was it asked in a press conference or was it something that was sent to her in writing?
I read it. I don't know if there was a press conference. I was just reading the quote.
Okay, so yeah, the reality here is she probably didn't have an answer and tried to defer simply because she wasn't comfortable trying to wing it and set policy with an unexpected answer. There's no reason why she can't have a better answer than that, though, because this has been in the news. Yeah, Jeff, what?
She's worried about losing a big segment of her voters, if you forbid Democrats. No, but she won't be running for anything again. But what else does Ivy not have an answer for? Why should we be surprised by this?
Yeah, I guess Gina Meola didn't have a press conference answer point ready for her on that one. It's all I can answer. Your own question, Dale. What do you think?
I don't know what Pawpaw said about Junebug in a closed primary, so she ain't got nothing to say. So it's just completely insane.
But no step too high for a high stepper, though.
Yeah,
we do
except
know that.
For that question. That question's too hard. Yeah,
that's important to know.
I just think she needs to be able to answer these really simple questions. It's just kind of embarrassing.
Well, yes. Or at the very least, she needs to give a better answer than we'll talk about that later when the other branch of government comes in and does business. That's not good. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come back from this break. It's we're already in round two. We're going to finish round two of the Grand Council with FM Talk 106.5 from the coastal region. That's Jeff Poore and WVNN's program director, morning show guy, Dale Jackson, and little old me, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. We're back here now with my brethren, Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and the political editor at 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN's 770 AM 92.5 FM up in Huntsville. So round two, fellers, we're in it. Dale's already got his problem out, or his question out. Let me go ahead and jump on one that's kind of weird. So you guys probably tracking this story about – actually, it's a developing story. More of it broke today. Somebody is targeting the Matrix Group. Matrix Group – now, by the way, that's irony because the Matrix Group has been known in Montgomery as the organization that will target others and targets people hard, like goes and tries to destroy lives sometimes to gain political upstage.
And they'll go after anyone.
Yeah. They recently got called out for staging a shadow war, basically, down in Florida by sort of owning a media outlet and then influencing the stories that were being written about candidates. This crap happens too often, to be honest with you. But Dale Jackson, your thoughts on Matrix's unraveling in the media?
It's a story for nerds and nobody else. Most people won't pay any mind to this, and I think that most people are hearing the words Matrix for the first time outside of those movies, especially in relation to what's happening in Alabama politics. So I don't know what the fallout actually looks like. It may hurt this company. That may be true, and that might be for the best, but I just don't think it has any real – it's not going to hurt Alabama Power, which is supposedly part of the angle here.
Yeah, and I will say this: the fact that nobody's heard of it was by design. They are the organization that travels in the shadows with intent to stay there. Jeff,
I actually read the whole 3,000 words or whatever it was Archibald Whitmire put out there today. Perkins, he's at war with Jeff Pitts, but you know what this is, guys? It's like when you put two like rats in a cage or something. And they just are going at each other. It was bound to happen eventually. That's the way these guys think. That's the way these guys operate. And now they're turning on one another. And it's a turf war, right? But it's a turf war that's going to end in a mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, I agree. And And to Dale's point also, and this is part of what I was going to say was my answer to my own question is what's interesting is if you're inside the bubble in Montgomery, people are going, ooh, wow, do you see that? What's going on? Perkins said what? When did they do this? Well, that was a leak. You know, that was intentional. You know, and did you hear about the lawsuit between the former partners of Perkins? And they say he stole his group, his client list and all that crap. But outside of that, the vast majority, 99.99% of Alabama is going, what? And that's pretty much where it's going to stay, I would guarantee you. Inside the bubble, big news. Outside the bubble, who knows? All right, Jeff, you're up, buddy. What you got?
Hyundai, child labor. The story's been around for about a week now, or maybe about a week and a half. Reuters originally broke it. They found children as young as 12 years old were at a metal stamping plant in Luverne down in Crenshaw County. And when I saw it, you know, I thought, well gosh, we paved the way for Hyundai to come here. I remember those days. It was a Siegelman deal, and we economic incentives. But then it occurs to me this too, guys. This is one of these companies that believes diversity is our strength. And they're going woke, and they preach to us about the virtue and equality and equity and diversity, yet they're hiring 12-year-olds to work in their plant. Whether they brought them in or not, it was a temp agency, there were still 12-year-olds. There's child labor going in there, and not a word about any of this.
Well, yeah, so let me ask you this, though, because I have seen this a little bit. Is this confirmed? Has Hyundai acknowledged the fact that this happened, or is it just a story that someone is trying to break saying that we heard that someone was working there that was 12 years old?
So what happened was the 12-year-old in question, or 14-year-old in question, actually, ran off with one of the co-workers at Hyundai, and they issued an Amber Alert.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when the authorities said, well, she ran off with the guy she worked, a reporter at Reuters said, whoa, 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 she's 14. Where on earth is she working? And that's sort of how this came to be. And then they dug around a little bit. And they confirmed, Reuters confirmed this with the local authorities in Coffee County, that at least one of these children was working at the plant. Of course, Hyundai, and this is a subsidiary of Hyundai, but wholly owned, Smart Alabama, said, no, there's no children, we deny that. But what it looks like happened to me, they have these temp agencies that bring in employees to do work to fill up gaps, and it kind of creates a barrier between the two. But whether or not they knew about it or not, they're still working in their plant, and they're still culpable.
Wow. Okay. So that's a heck of a thing. I didn't realize the ran off with a coworker kind of thing, but Amber Alert and all that. But I'll be honest with you. I look at it, you know, to your point a minute ago about giving incentives to a company that comes in. I can't say that the state is somehow complicit in bringing someone in, but I do agree that when we have these companies that come in and then they go woke, like for instance, we got big incentives for Google to have its thing up in Northeast Alabama. Amazon is in Bessemer, and they are preaching to Apple. Apple used to send its lobbyists to meet with me wanting me to, you know, pass, you know, gay rights legislation. And I look at it and go, do you realize where you are? You ask the state for incentives to come here. How about you remember where you came to? Dale, your thoughts.
Well, I think you're right about that. It was my understanding that the young lady who ran off was working in this plant with her father, which, you know, just
what?
From, yeah, that's what I'd heard.
Well, her father was working for some kind of, it was agriculture or something. He sent his children off to go work here, Reuters source said.
Okay, so then either way, we're talking about illegal aliens coming in here. With probably false identification, and I think we all know this, and Phil, you'll probably back this up. We all know at these plants and things like this, they come in and say, show me your Social Security card, you know.
Yeah.
And they cross the I's, and they dot the T's, and they don't give a damn, and it's happening everywhere, and then this is how this all went down, with
fake
documentation, as opposed to going and seeking out 12-year-olds to employ.
Fellows, my outro music is playing. I appreciate you. That was a fast segment. Listen, we'll be back again next week. The Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, Dale Jackson, and me. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Have a